Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Hello and good evening. And I was going to say this afternoon, but it's not this afternoon. This is this evening. I'm Kay Thompson, and this is Kay Thompson Live. And we have a dynamite show all planned for you tonight. And we're going to be talking to Sophia Stewart, who is the mother of Matrix. And we're expecting to hear from her very, very shortly. Let me see. There's a hot story going on. And that story is that Sophia Stewart was threatened. And by the way, my guest is Mal Wolfolk. Hi, Mal.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
Okay. Mal Wolfolk, the executive vice president of a global and give me the title now.
The Global Trade and Technology Center.
Global Trade and Technology Center. Okay. And by the way, we are also going to be talking to, and right now, Sophia Stewart, who is the mother of Matrix. And Sophia, hello, how are you?
Fine. How are you doing, Kay?
We're doing fine. We're doing fine. Now, we talked a little while ago, and I understand that you had something happen today. You were threatened by someone, right?
Yeah, I filed criminal charges with the U.S. Attorney's Office and with the FBI because I got in touch with the U.S. Attorney's Office, and they told me, of course, to take it to the FBI for an investigation. So I filed a complaint with them also on Warner Brothers for threatening me in a restraint of trade.
In a restraint?
They were threatening me over my own Matrix copyrights in a restraint of trade. Just like the mafia did back in the day when they would come in to business people and do the strong-arm tactics on these people to take over their properties and their companies and take their money illegally with strong-arming. Uh-huh. And they went to jail under the RICO Act, and you can go to jail under the Sherman Act. Also, it is a felony, and it's a federal crime.
Mm-hmm. So how did they do this? What did they say? Who did they threaten? Did they come to you? Did they call you? Exactly. How was this done?
What happened was, yeah, they threatened me in a letter, and they also went and threatened Amazon. When my products are on Amazon selling, they went on there and threatened Amazon to take my products off of Amazon when I have clear copyrights to the products.
Uh-huh.
And I'm allowed in America under the Constitution to make money off of my product in my copyrights.
Of course, I would think so. So when was this done, Sophia? Because we had just gotten the news a little while ago.
It was done several days ago.
Uh-huh.
And I filed criminal charges with the U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI because that's racketeering. Mal knows what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
Everybody that's ever watched The Untouchables know what I'm talking about when the mafia would come in and strong-arm different people's businesses and companies and take over their products and take over and make money off of their products illegally, strong-arm when they have no rights to the property.
Yeah. But when you say... I'm still not getting it. I'm a little slow right now. But when you say that they strong-armed, what physical thing did they do, if anything?
Well,
the
physical harm is when you stop people's property, trade under the Sherman Act.
Uh-huh.
That is felony right there. That is strong-arming tactic when you threaten other companies or other businesses from doing business or selling a person.
Okay, I see. So they're trying to get other businesses not to do business with you. And you are the mother of Matrix because you won the whole copyright infringement.
I am the writer of the Matrix and Terminator, and the government have awarded me the copyrights to the Matrix and Terminator derivatives, which are derived from my source work, The Third Eye. I have 5 copyrights to the Matrix and Terminator, and I'm the legal and the lawful owner of it. And I can sell it, do whatever I want with it, and it's not a damn thing Warner Brothers or any of the Wachowskis or any of them can do about it.
Uh-huh.
And quite naturally, they're pissed. The government canceled them out June the 13th, 2012, when they tried to illegally get trademarks for Matrix Reloaded and Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
The government shut them down, and the government awarded me the copyrights to the derivatives.
Uh-huh. So now what can they do? I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, what is the question?
I said, what do you think they will do in this strong arm tactic? What was the action? They have contacted.
They can do a thing. I told the FBI they gotta arrest him because the FBI told me that if Warner Brothers and them are threatening me in any kind of form or fashion, to let them know.
I see. And you let them know.
They are threatening me. They have hacked into my website. They have hacked into my mail account where I can't even receive emails. They've hacked into my website. You know, it's been reported. My webmaster told me they hacked into the account. And now they have threatened Amazon, and they have threatened other people who have come to try to buy Matrix and Terminator products from me.
Wow.
Sophia.
Yes.
Sophia.
Somebody else.
Yes. Yes.
I just got the email from you. What I'd like to do, Sophia, keep a running update about what's going on. So this same show, I'd like for you to call into the show, and we're going to keep a running update of what's going on, because then I can email out to my mass email and to everybody that's on last week and put some pressure out there so that people know what's going on. So this on this Saturday show, call in.
Okay.
We're going to keep a running update of what's going on, okay?
Yes, I will. That's very, very good, because everybody needs to know that there are organized crime. This is organized crime, and there are criminals, and this is a conspiracy.
So
wow.
I'm glad I called. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to have the show updated to I'm going to be running an update on you, keep tabs of what's going on, so that people on our side that knows what's going on will keep telling people and bringing some attention to bear on all of this. But anyway, that other information, you may be getting something from an attorney, too, by the way. They got some of that information on you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. And that is some. And who are you calling, sir? Who is the caller?
My name is Charles Bolts. I'm the host for the Charlie Bolts Keep It Real Talk radio show.
Oh, okay. Glad to have you on, Charlie.
Well, thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
But I got to run now. I got into on an interview here, but I want Ms. Stewart to know that this Saturday I want her on the show. We're going to keep a running tab update and let people know what's going on with her vigilant fight that she's got against these people.
Terrific. Where is your show? Is it on GoPro Radio also?
It's on the internet. It's at www.winsongentertainment, WinSong entertainment.com.
Okay, good to hear from you. Thank you for calling.
And thank you.
Okay.
Sophia, you take care now, sis. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you, Charles.
All right. So really, this is generating a whole lot of news here, you know, because I consider this a real hot news thing. And, this is driving me crazy. Is this driving you crazy? Because, you know, here she is being threatened, mm-hmm. and you've contacted the FBI. Now, what is the next move? How do you protect yourself? How do you protect your property? You won the cases.
That's right. I've won those cases, and they've covered it up. I told people over and over that the Andy and Larry Wachowski, they did not answer the amended complaint. Neither did Warner Brothers, and they lost. And I told people over and over that one of the former attorneys, Dean Webb, told me that Warner Brothers sent them to sabotage my whole case. If the whole four attorneys were sent to sabotage the cases. And the first case, the 2004 California case, and that Jonathan LaBelle didn't have a license to practice law anywhere. In fact, Jonathan LaBelle has been dead for at least 3 or 4 years, a good 4 years.
Uh-huh.
And it's been covered up. And it's been covered up in the Utah courts.
Uh-huh,
and there were judges that was fixing the case over there, judges fixing the case, judges letting out defendants, then trying to let out other witnesses. See, the whole contract was fraudulent because Jonathan LaBelle didn't have a license. They took $50,000 to throw my case. So So if it's a fraudulent contract and every of the other three lawyers are under that contract, then it's all fraud. And on January 11th, they all were supposed to show up. Nobody showed up. The judge said if nobody showed up, they all lost the case. So everybody lost the case on January the 11th, 2012.
So has there been a judgment then since they lost the case? I mean, what comes next if someone loses a case? What happens? Do they have to pay up? Do they have to go to jail? I mean, do they have to have their arms tied behind them?
I told the U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI today, I had two witnesses on the phone, that somebody has to go to jail. Just like in the movie National Treasury, somebody has to go to jail. I know a lot of people are involved. Everybody don't have to go to jail. But somebody needs to go to jail. Andy
exactly.
and Larry Wachowski need to go to jail and satisfy it. This is horrible what I've suffered.
Yeah, when you steal something, you've got to pay. There's no doubt about it. And then if you're receiving threats, then something has to be done about this more. We're going to be keeping up to date with this case. By the way, I'm going to give out the number for people to call and talk directly to Sophia Stewart, the mother of Matrix, because of the fact that the latest thing is that she was threatened. It's been by Warner Brothers, Sophia. Is that what it was? Or that who it was?
Yeah, Warner Brothers have threatened me. Yes, I filed criminal charges against them today.
Uh-huh.
Today is March the 20th, 2013. I filed criminal charges against them and a blockade or restraint of trade.
I see. That's what they're trying to do. Okay. All right. Okay, now listen. Let me give people the number for them to call you because we've been getting a lot of calls off air. You know, the number is 323-679-0906. 323-679-0906. Now, Mal Wolfolk is here, too, and I know he wants to get involved with this also, with this discussion. You think so? Where are we now? I mean, she's really going through a whole lot of changes that is going on and on and on. This thing is unbelievable.
Oh, it is,
yeah. Yeah, but it happens, and we know it happens, and here's the legal work that she has to prove it all.
Absolutely, and hopefully along the way, not knowing the entire story, that organizations across America, people in the arts and other people of color will kind of enjoy this because when it happens to one, it happens to all.
Absolutely. That's the problem. Now, we needed to ask, Sophia, we're going to ask you about copywriting also. But, you know, yes, this is a problem. But I want to also give the number out again so people will have the number to call in and to talk to Sophia Stewart at about this latest thing, this threat from Warner Brothers. 323-679-0906. 323-679-0906. And Sophia, you say that this threat has been from Warner Brothers, and you've made the charge. Is it that's what it's called, making a charge against someone already? And the result so far is absolutely nothing.
Excuse me.
The result so far is absolutely nothing from the courts or
that's not correct.
Okay.
That's not correct.
All right.
You filed no charges against anybody. The FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office take your paperwork and they go out and they start investigating immediately.
They have done that already, do you know?
I just filed today. The process starts today. The paperwork goes in today. I had witnesses on the phone when I filed the criminal charges against Warner Brothers for the threat. So this process, it's just beginning.
I see.
And then I'm going to tell all the media and let everybody know that they have finally threatened me and blockade me from trade, a restraint of trade, which is a felony, over my own Matrix copyrights, on my own product and my own work.
So you are kept from really completely, you know, benefiting from your own artistic work. And, you know, even though you have it copyrighted, you've had this information copyrighted since when? What is the year? Listen, we do have to go
since
for a break.
Since 1981, 83, 84, 2010, and 2013.
Somebody's got to tell
me. I've already entered these copyrights into a federal court. Now, This is a hate crime. People need to know this is racism. This is bigotry. This is bigots. This is racism because everybody, my property, they made millions, hundreds of millions and billions of dollars off of my property. My property is valuable in a white male's hands, a white female's hands, or in homosexuals' hands, but not a black African American's hands. So this is nothing but a hate crime in America.
Mm-hmm.
A hate crime where they prevent me, like I'm some kind of slave under Dred Scott law.
Yeah.
This is where the Sherman Act comes in. Like I'm some slave and I don't have any rights in the Constitution, and they can come in and take my copyright and do whatever they want with it and then turn around and threaten me.
Okay.
And prevent me from trade and threaten other people who are trying to trade with me.
And do business with you. Okay. Sophia, we're going to take a break. We're going to do a break, take a break right now, and we're going to come right back for more. Stay with us, okay? The number for people to call to talk to Sophia's story about this, Sophia Stewart, rather, about this case is 323-679-0906, 323-679-0906. I'm Kate Thompson. I'm with Mal Wolfhook here, and we're talking to Sophia Stewart, who is better known as the mother of Matrix and Terminator. We'll be right back, everyone. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Ayanna Jones from the GoPro Radio Network with a special message. We're entering a great crisis, perhaps the greatest in history, with a collapsing economic system, endless war, and looming over it all, the disintegration of ecosystems and climate chaos. That's why it's important to join us on the horizon where all our movements for a better world converge. When is that happening? Friday, March 22nd through Sunday, March 24th in Troy, New York. For 3 days, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, a diverse and multi-generational group of activists, educators, and artists, will come together to discuss, plan, and act around the most difficult and important questions of our times. How can we connect the local to the global? And how can the diverse movements and organizations work together toward common goals? Now, I want to let you know also that we'll be screening Disappearing Voices there on Saturday, March 23rd, at a special panel and workshop around independent media. Who's we? Well, I'm talking about the one and only BW Moving Images. So if you want more information on this great event, you can go to mediasanctuary.org. Again, that's Friday, March 22nd through Sunday, March 24th. Join BW Moving Images for a convergence at the Sanctuary for Independent Media in Troy, New York. And to get more information and to see the film Disappearing Voices, The Decline of Black Radio by director Tylon Eusebio Washington, go to mediasanctuary.org. And now, without further ado, let's take it back to Kay Thompson live only on the GoPro Radio Network.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ayanna. Ayanna's coming up right after, you know, Kay Thompson live. I'm with Mal Wolfhook, and Mal is the Executive Vice President of the Global and
Trade and Technology Center.
Say it again, Mal.
The Global Trade and Technology
Say it again.
Center. Global Trade and Technology Center.
Okay, and you're very interested in the story also, Sophia. This is absolutely unreal. Yeah. We have another caller. I'd have to go to this caller. You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air. We're talking to another caller. Are you on? Hello, you're on. We are not getting... Yes, you're on.
Can they hear me?
We can hear you, Sophia, but we can't get the other caller yet. Is that it?
Oh, okay.
No, okay. All right, but anyway, so we were talking about, did you want to ask?
Oh, no, I was waiting for the rest of the story. She was in the middle of saying that, it's a copyright infringement. It's a trade infringement, of course.
Yeah.
It's at the very essence of it.
It's not, people need to stop saying those words, copyright infringement. It's criminal copyright infringement, which is totally a theft case.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI validated it's nothing but a theft case. It is not copyright infringement. It's not copying. It is intentional. It's willful. And Warner Brothers and the Wachowskis never, ever had any copyrights to the Matrix, period.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they did not enter any answer into the federal court in 2004. And Dean Webb told on them because he was afraid of going to jail. And the judges over in Utah let him out of the case. Judge Clark Wadoff let him out of the case, got bribed out. Wadoff either was bribed or threatened. and let Dean Webb out of the case. But Dean Webb had wrote into his answer, could he be allowed to change his story just in case?
Wow, is that legal?
I don't think it is. I don't think it is, but that's what he wrote in his answer when he put in, could he be allowed to change his story later on?
Hmm. How many attorneys have you contacted about this, Sophia?
I've contacted numerous lawyers. Uh-huh. And some of the lawyers told me that Warner Brothers was trying to pay them to come into the Utah case and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Some of the lawyers told off on Warner Brothers.
Wow. I just can't get over this. It's, you know, you go to the courts to solve problems. And Sophia Stewart has gone to the courts and received more problems by going to the courts for something
you know
that
why?
You...
You know why? Because
no.
This is not a civil action. I have spoken to people numerous of times and told them this is not a civil action. This is a criminal case. This was a criminal case in 2004 when I went to court. I should have never gone to court and initiated RICO because the government failed to protect my copyrights. They violated my rights to due process of the law. It's the same thing if you go to the police department and you tell the police somebody stole your car. They go out and investigate, and they come back with the evidence. They said, yes, these people stole your car. And then they give the evidence over to the U.S. to the DA's office to prosecute. But the DA office get bought out by the defendants and don't prosecute the case.
And so, therefore...
So what happened, that's what happened.
Jeez.
The U.S. Attorney's Office got bought out by the defendants and never prosecuted the case. It was strictly a theft case. The paperwork and evidence that I got from the FBI says blatantly it's a theft case, that it was willful intent, that they intentionally stole copyrighted work when the copyright notice was on the work. So they knew that it was copyrighted work when they started counterfeiting. And now they didn't stop. Under the RICO law, if you continue within a 10-year span, and there's another case now where they stole Thomas Outhouse work for Matrix 2 and 3, Matrix Reloaded and Revolution.
All right, now let me get this straight.
Sophia,
let me get this straight. Now, there's another person who also wrote something. And now he's suing, or they're blocking his work also, or what?
Well, he's suing. He is suing under RICO.
Uh-huh.
He brought a RICO claim in the federal courts against them.
We have another caller, so let's get back on the area code here. Yes, hello, you're on the air. Are you there? Hello, you're on the air. Are you there? I am not hearing that person. Let's say it one more time if they are on the air. No? Okay. All right. So we're going to be continuing. Okay. Now,
like I was telling you,
go ahead.
Matrix 1 was already done and completed. I'm the author of The Matrix and The Terminator.
Uh-huh.
Because Matrix was already completed and already made over $1 billion. And the FBI, the government, told Warner Brothers to shut it down and for them to stop counterfeiting. But they were so, I guess, greedy or hateful, they continued to steal. So what they did was they went out and solicited some more work to continue the theft.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they used this man's work to continue. Now, he came after the fact, and they used his work after the fact to continue the RICO enterprise.
Wow. Okay.
To continue the fraud.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we are running out of time, Sophia. Keep us posted as to what is the day it happens. And you filed and you're waiting to hear something now. You want to?
Well, and I was going to say, Sophia, is there anything you'd want to ask the general public?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Anything you.
They can read, they can go to my website, truthaboutmatrix.com and matrixterminator.com, and buy the books and read, catch up and read it for themselves what's going on. People who want to see the validations from the FBI or the death of Warner Brothers can go to my website and get the book, The Third Eye. And then the next coming work of Matrix 4 movie coming soon, they can buy the Matrix 4 book. But
uh-huh.
The work is there in all the documentations of the theft in the court docs where they admit to the theft is there for people to read. And
now, Matrix 4 is coming out soon? Is that what you're saying?
Matrix 4 movie will be coming soon.
Oh, okay.
And that's why people need to read the Matrix 4 book because the movie will be coming soon.
Okay, you know, I want to spend a couple minutes on exactly, you know, when we're talking about Matrix. You know, and we're talking about the Terminator. The story is really, does it have a religious bent to it or a, what would I want to say, spiritual bent to it?
Yes, it does. What I wrote was the second coming of Christ, the evolutions of consciousness, man versus the machine. So the one, Neo, is an anagram for the one, N-E-O-O-N-E, one and the same, and Sarah Connor is his mother. And Matrix is coming out of the womb. In Exodus 34th chapter 19th verse, God says, he who opens the Matrix is mine. Meaning those children coming out of the womb receive a soul, and they're his children. And all the other ones are born soulless. And that's what the machines are, born without souls.
Uh-huh.
That's what the Terminator cloned, microchipped, naked without shame, but born soulless.
How long did it take you to write that, to develop that?
Well, it took me only 3 years, but I wrote the script treatment immediately.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't finish the book until actually 3 years later.
I see.
But all the other stuff I had already developed, the characters, the special effects, the graphics, graphic illustrations,
wow.
The makings of the third eye, which is the makings of the Matrix.
Uh-huh.
Everything was utilized because a great deal of the special effects you see in the Matrix and Terminator were created by me.
Wow.
They're in my book as proof. Digital downloading, barcodes, computerized warfare with the drones, scanners, all of that come from me. Digital downloading, when Trinity said to download me so I can fly the helicopter. All that comes from me.
Figures, all the drawings, all the specs, everything for this movie.
You can see the red and the blue come from me.
Give us the websites again, Sophia.
The website is Matrix, one word, matrixterminator.com, matrixterminator.com, and then truthaboutmatrix.com.
Right.
Books are there. Proof is right there. The copyrights are there. I own the copyrights to the Matrix and Terminator also. And anything anybody wants to see, I want a judgment of $150 million-plus in the Utah or California case. On my website is contact information. I will send you over whatever you want to post and show people, even for snoops. I have evidence and proof that I own the Matrix and Terminator copyrights and franchises.
Okay. All right. We are going to always keep up, you know, with Sophia Stewart. She's been on this a long time. Even though you copyright, even though you have something copywritten, you've got to be very, very careful about who you're dealing with. Is that also the story that we're getting from this? Because a lot of people have,
Let me say something about that.
Okay.
Because people need to know that I did everything right. I did everything right. I went to the top film school. I got a degree. I went to USC Film School, got a degree, did the copyrights so the government could come out and protect my copyrights. Because when they come out and arrest you for bootlegging the studio's movies or downloading music, it doesn't matter if you're 13, 14, or 15, they'll come out and arrest you. When we pay that money for the copyrights, the government is supposed to come out and protect our copyrights.
Right.
The government have been amiss in their job because they did not protect my copyrights, and they let these Warner Brothers, who are organized crime, continue to counterfeit my copyrights as if I didn't have any rights under the Constitution.
And
so
you're not letting them
not only have Warner Brothers subverted my rights, but the federal government has too. The Department of Justice, Eric Holden, and all of them are responsible for this hate crime because they all have aided and abetted in it. And I think that they didn't expect for it to get so big, where it was billions of dollars involved and a multitude of people. Now, I know these, a lot of these people involved, they don't even know that they got involved in the theft because Warner Brothers was going around when people asked them, reporters, could you produce your copyrights to The Matrix and Terminator? They were just like, take my word, just trust us. Trust us. You don't even have any copyrights. So I'm not asking, I told the Department of Justice and the FBI this morning, I'm not asking you guys to arrest all these people because I know a lot of people are involved. But I do expect you, like National Treasury, the movie, to make an arrest.
Yes.
You need to arrest some of these executives from Warner Brothers. You need to arrest the Andy and Larry Wachowskis. Somebody needs to pay for this so we can send a message in America that our copyrights are very important and they're protected by the government. We pay money for that protection when we go out and get our copyrights. Because if you don't have a copyright, the government will not come in and investigate. Now,
Let me ask you something. Sophia, let me ask you a question. Can you sell outside of the United States? Can you sell your product outside of the United States?
They have been threatening people and blockading me from trade. This is a restraint under the Sherman Act. That's a felony. That's a conspiracy. That's a crime that you go to jail for.
So you are actually blocked from selling your product to another country?
Yeah, I was blocked. They're threatening me and threatening other people. So the government has to come in now because the FBI told me that if I got any threats from Warner Brothers, to let them know immediately. Because they knew this was going to come next.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that was going to come next. You know, this is very important that people know that they have threatened me and have blocked me from a restraint of trade. Now, one of the judges in Nevada is going to prosecute them under the Sherman Act for a restraint of trade because they're going to allow that to go through.
Uh-huh.
Because that has with an illegal, unlawful monopoly. Because the government cannot participate in unlawful monopolies. And we're talking about when the Rockefellers, they came in and broke up the Rockefeller Standard Oil. They came up and broke up Marvell, and they broke up Microsoft. They have to come in and break up these monopolies so other people can have freedom to trade.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They cannot let these big, giant corporations and companies muscle and have organized crimes and conspiracy to block people from trade and making money in America.
Uh-huh.
That's illegal.
Okay. All right, listen, we have to go, Sophia. We do have to go right now, but thank you for the update. Okay?
We will still be
doing these updates because we want to, you know, find out where you are and with this case. This affects so many other different people, you know, because of the fact that if and when the movies comes out, they've got to hire people, and, you know, a lot of people will have jobs, extra jobs, and this is her property. You know, people want you to be creative. I have some copyrighted, and, you know, am I going to have the same problem, you see?
Well, this is a hate crime. We're going to have the same problem because it's a hate crime.
Yeah,
It is definitely a hate crime.
Okay. Got to go. We'll see you soon again, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you, Sophia. Okay, this is, you know, really very difficult, you know, you have to hear it over and over again to really understand exactly what's going on and what still is going on.
True.
You know,
true.
Each time we talk to her, we get a better understanding about, you know, something happening. And it's unfortunate that it's happening. I'm at a loss for, you know, really understanding why she is not able to get, after winning the cases in so many different courts, you know, why isn't she able to, you know, get the money that she you know, request for because of the fact that if she is the actual owner, and according to legal documents, they're saying that she's the actual owner.
True.
It's been verified. It's, you know, what's happening with the court system?
Well, several people along the way have raised the issue that copyrights, patents, trademarks,
mm-hmm.
that if someone isn't aligned with the right people, that very often, you know, so many inventions in this country are lost, and big companies assume them or patents for things, and too often, you know.
But that's almost like saying that, well, if you copyright something, and then you do what you're supposed to do legally, and you still, all of a sudden it becomes somebody else's, you know, product. It seems to me that that would encourage people to go ahead and try to, you know, do their own, producing of that product and making money from it.
Right.
Anyway, and then just give whoever is holding this process a run of their money. Maybe it has to be done, you know, under the table instead of legally if it's not going to work for you legally.
Well, yeah that's always a tough that's always a tough question.
How do you get around?
But certainly if you have a patent, it's clearly insufficient just to file a patent in Washington and not let anybody else know and believe that your patent will be protected when no one else knows. So,
but that's if you're a product, you know, for instance, with my children's books, nobody else wrote those but me. So I'm going to have them done and then just market them and myself and sell them myself and
market yourself if the markets will let you in. And that's often the issue that if you have something of value, you probably need to register it with a number of entities.
Yeah.
Other than the entity that'll do your marketing and distribution, so that there's plenty of other outside evidence that is yours, you know.
Wow. Well, that was
other educational groups, for instance, if it's a children's book that's educational.
Yeah.
Other writers groups. Mm-hmm. There are all kinds of writers groups and organizations, local and national.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have professional associations to whom they can present something for the review and hopefully have it endorsed and supported as being meaningful in that profession. And then you have, you know, depending on your profession, you might have thousands of people who've seen copies, and the leadership of that organization of thousands of people have acknowledged that it's yours, and they've seen the patents.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you go into contractual distribution, it's more difficult for somebody to say, we didn't know it was yours.
Because
I don't know, the National Association of whoever's has presented it perhaps at a statewide or national forum or convention.
Mm-hmm.
As being, you know,
the more people know about it, then, for instance, now it's beginning to, you know, get some traction. I hadn't heard of it prior to meeting, you know, Sophia, and to meeting her by phone, by the way, and was going over the literature and whatnot. It just seemed to me that if, you know, she has gone through these courts and it's been proven that she has, she's done all the right things, and still she can't get recognition of the fact that she is legitimate writer of this. It's very depressing.
It is.
It is.
And, and unfortunately, some people will say that certain things are taking a meaner stance, where the regular person no longer enjoys the rights that were granted throughout the Constitution and everything else.
And, the story, now we were, you know, talking about the story, and the story does have a spiritual and religious overtone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is an oracle, you know, it's a story of finding the one who's going to be like the God figure.
And maybe he's more spiritual, could be religious, but certainly in a very loosely defined fashion, the one could be maybe a parallel with a prophet, you know, not necessarily God, but a messenger that's trying to bring some new message to personkind.
To
mankind. I think it was that. And the oracle, like oracles have been, case seemed to be an interpreter of events for this new prophet, who was, you know, the star of the show. And seemingly it was to awaken people, which is what the idea was. The Matrix was a system run by machines that drained human beings of their energy to run their machines, but kept them mindless, you know, without conscience, without awareness, and except for those few that escaped, like he did and like some other people did,
mm-hmm.
and were in revolution against the machine, but seeking freedom.
Want to keep you quiet there.
A microcosm or of some societies.
Yeah,
what seems
exactly.
to be that in some world, whatever that world is, draw your own conclusions, assess your own circumstances
yeah.
around the world.
Mm-hmm.
You look around and see if you have any participation in your own life and the
yeah.
direction of your life. And if you don't, and all you're doing is getting up, going to work, coming back home, buying a bunch of products, paying taxes into some entity.
And doing the same thing all over and over again, yeah.
And don't feel like you're getting anything back from your contributions, then, you know, by some stretch, where you are just helplessly subsidizing some bigger thing.
Existing for some bigger entity.
To no end or benefit of yourself,
yeah.
and with maybe no free determination.
Is this a gender thing? I mean, will the one or the matrix be a woman?
Well, I think the matrix is a system of
Origination, an original being entity or whatever.
You know, I don't know
thing.
For sure, and I guess we should have asked Sophie. But my sense is that the matrix is a circumstance of exclusion,
uh-huh.
where folks are just being asked to again pay your taxes, buy products from these big companies and corporations. You know, mind your manners, so
yeah,
to speak.
Yeah.
But don't ask any questions. Don't expect any self-determination.
Or else you will cease to exist.
Right, right. We're just having you here to support what we're doing, and you're not supposed to do anything.
You're not supposed to question, and if you do, boom, you're off the face of the earth.
And unfortunately, you know, we look around the world, and significantly, that's what's going on.
Interesting.
You know, communism,
yeah.
fascism.
Yeah.
You name it by any brand.
Yeah.
The most interesting.
This is really, really deep.
Well,
yeah,
it can be because along with the Matrix and new media
mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
gets this going around, we've seen extraordinary.
I could be
people.
The Matrix.
or the Oracle. Or the Oracle.
Or the Oracle. Or, yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But it's interesting to see a lot of people in otherwise oppressed societies
yeah.
that can be likened to a matrix.
Yes.
Having
right.
in the last few years
mm-hmm.
around the world,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, maybe of the one or not.
Yeah.
But it's clearly in the air because people in places where folks thought that people would never rise up,
mm-hmm.
you know, Arab Spring, and now we see it in China.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
we see it in Europe and Spain and Greece where mm-hmm. folks have just been kind of going along for years and people were. Now we know, ruining their governments and running their commerce into the ground and, you know, killing
yeah.
their future and their economies. And people are in the streets. So
yeah.
it's
Well, you know, we were supposed to have Tracy Marquis, you know, on. I was wanted to talk to her and see what her feelings was about this. But we'll do this another time.
Mm-hmm.
Difficult to get this studio.
Mm-hmm.
Jersey City is probably one of the most complicated cities I know. Just let people know we're not that far from Holland Tunnel here. And we are heard all over, you know, and it's we're heard from here to Africa, to South America, to where was the other place? Goodness, Europe, et cetera, et cetera. And it's really, you know, it's really quite enjoyable to do this. And we're going to be continuing it on. But this story is so fascinating, Mal. But let me talk about your company now. You know, you were the executive vice president of, you know, Global
Trade and Technology
Trade
Center.
And technology. And what is it that you're doing?
Well, we're a
aside from being my partner here.
We're a not-for-profit entity. And
meaning business partners, everyone. My partner was Gus.
Right.
Go ahead.
A not-for-profit entity.
Mm-hmm.
And we essentially have a memorandum of agreement with the U.S. Department of Commerce
uh-huh.
to facilitate the growth, expansion, and funding of small and medium sized businesses.
I see.
Congressional legislation since almost 12 years now. Our agreement is signed by undersecretaries of commerce at
mm-hmm.
the direction of secretaries of commerce each
mm-hmm.
year since the Bush administration.
Uh-huh.
So we're here under the Bush administration. We've been here under the Obama administration.
So you're allowed to. We
do business inside and out, but what our relationship provides is members of our organization, mm-hmm. because we're a membership organization, mm-hmm. not for profit, but members of our organization have access to the Commerce Department directly to help them grow.
I see.
Intranationally,
yeah. Yeah.
and internationally.
So if people wanted to get in touch with you,
right,
you know, to join, can they join?
Sure, you can.
All right. Well, let's hear how.
Well, my number is 732-685-4380.
Mm-hmm. Give that again. 732-685-4380.
Or they can go to...
You said 762?
732.
732, everyone. 685-4380.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what country you're in, you can still apply and join.
Well,
and
you can be... Right.
If you have a small business or a startup
business. Medium-sized businesses is our focus.
Yeah.
And, you know, a business plan.
Wow,
a business plan for growth.
Mm-hmm.
And my email is mal...
L. Woolfolk, WOOLSOLK. That's one word. So it's like wool folk.
Right.
The folks of oil, of wool.
Right.
Mal.
Sheepherders or something, yeah.
Yeah. Mal. Woolfolk.
At
GTTC.
.US.
.US. Okay. All right. Let me do that again. M-A-L dot W-O-O-L, F as in Frank, O-L-K at G-T-T-C-U-S. Is that correct?
Dot U-S, right.
Yeah, dot U-S. And certainly, you know, you can call here, you know, during the time that we're on the air. It's 323-679-0906 to talk to Mal if you can call about this. Can I?
What yeah. we do is that we have a business.
Because I have to raise money for the show, for us to keep doing the show as a continuous tribute to Gus Henningberg.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so mm-hmm. that's what we're doing right now, so we can pay for the show.
Right.
And stay on the air.
Right.
And at the same time, help Ty Washington and Shauna and Ayana and Byron and everybody else stay on the air with this important, important internet radio.
Right, right. Well, provide a venue for everybody.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
In the community. I mean, it's keep them on the air, but keep them on the air to
do.
Be a venue
yeah,
for
exactly.
people to reach people all over the world.
Which brings us to Disappearance of Black Radio.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've certainly, in the ebb and flow of things, certainly we have ownership
yeah.
of black radio and cable stations and so on. And that's another part of every community's vigilance. Every community needs a venue to keep in touch
yeah.
and to gather people and to rally people and to advise them and so on. And we certainly know that in the major media stations.
Mm.
And increasingly, we've come to appreciate it as soon as cable TV became available,
yes.
other than the first bunch of stations, somebody said, or people used to think, well, we already have 2, 4, 7, 9, and 11, and maybe 5, depending on one's point of view.
Yeah.
What else is there to find out about, or what else is there to say? Cable opens up, and we have 500 stations,
yeah.
or 1,000, depending
yeah.
on where you are. So, you know, evidently there's a lot to say. And in our community, you know, some folks would like to think that certain communities, well, there are two people that speak for 45 million, and there
yeah.
are only two points of view, and that's enough, you know. Mm. So, but we know. We know there are far more points of view and far
sure.
more interests and how those interests play themselves
That's
out.
That's so. How inner city really grew. You know, WLIB, BLS, mm-hmm. I would imagine, because they were smaller stations.
Right.
And I remember when I came on board, that was some years ago. I don't remember the years. You don't have to say the years. But anyway.
Seems like just yesterday.
But anyway, it was because of the enough.
Right.
You know, of what was going on in the black communities, we actually did not have a voice.
Right.
And I wasn't around then, but shortly after that, the station was not a full-time radio station.
Right.
In other words,
daytime
from, yeah,
only.
Daytime only.
Yeah, sunrise, sunset.
Yeah, yeah. And then they got the licensing to have full-time, right?
Right.
Now I'm asking you because you go back.
Oh, yeah.
To the
Well, they after a number of years, they were finally able to petition the other station that had the frequency that was way out in the
that
middle
was
VLS? Of Indiana. No, this was an AM station.
Ah,
that,
okay.
That had a stronger, bigger signal, but was way out in Indiana.
And were they all music?
The other station?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they were given farm reports.
Really? Okay.
Well, they were in Indiana, so they were given news that people were interested in Indiana. But the issue was that there's Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and then New York. So quite a ways from Indiana, folks were no longer interested in what they were saying because it was Indiana-focused.
Yeah.
But for a long time, and, you know, who knows why, unquote, they would not cede the radio frequency to LIB, even though LIB's listeners were in New Jersey and Pennsylvania.
And they were blocking it, is that what you're saying?
They were blocking it.
Is it because it was black radio?
Well, you know,
all
we know is that as a business decision, if somebody offers you money for something that's of no use to you, it seems like you'd be happy to sell it.
Yeah, to get that money. Sure.
Right. So here you have a station originating in Indiana, and like I said, the signal claimed the space and legally, but in Ohio and Pennsylvania and New Jersey after 5 o'clock. And you know, who in New Jersey or who in Pennsylvania and probably who in Ohio were fixed about what was going on in Indiana?
What about in Washington? Weren't things sort of, you know, bubbling around in Washington? And I don't know what station, but I remember seeing a film about, a young man who got on the radio and caused a lot of change.
Well, maybe
in the area of civil rights, that's always probably been very fearful of having black radio.
Well, folks who can define it any way they want, as we know, you know, and you can define somebody who's speaking up for themselves and demonstrates some self-respect as being anti-you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, more correctly, as Brother Malcolm X said, I'm not anti-you, I'm pro-me.
Yeah.
I'm not even thinking about you. Amen. So so folks who were, you know, on some levels, when people are afraid of other people having parity in a community where they both are, then one has to really, you know, look more closely at what their intentions are. Because if people are well-meaning and positive about life and growth, then their only criteria should be whether someone else is the same.
Okay. Mal, I want to give you a number out again because this is important. Now, Mal is the Executive Vice President of the Global Trade and Technology Center, and they are organized to help you with your business, no matter where in the world it is. Can we
say
that?
Well, no matter where in the world it is.
And you can join.
And our relationship with the U.S. Department of Commerce, International Trade Administration, gives us a direct access to their information, their resource.
Around the globe.
Every place that the U.S. government has an embassy or a consulate. And that's all the member nations of the United Nations.
No kidding. So if you have a business,
and wanted to do business in Norway, you can access people there. If you wanted to do business in Argentina, Brazil, Uruguay, Ghana, Tanzania.
And they can get this information from you at this number. I'm going to give them your number again, 732, everyone, 685-4380. Mal Wolfolk, 732-685-4380. And Mal's email is mal, M-A-L, dot Wolfolk, W-O-O-L, F as in Frank, O-L-K, at GTTCUS. Okay? This would be easier to call, 782-685-4380. And now you will always get back to people anyway.
732. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
732-685-4380. 732-685-4380. And you can always get in touch with me here at BW Moving Images. And we want to thank them for their network, GoProRadio.com. And we're going to be doing a lot of other shows that I have lined up here. We're going to be getting Tracy probably got mixed up here in Jersey City. I remember trying going around and around in circles, and I ended up in Hoboken. Do I like Jersey City, everybody? I like it here at BW and Images, but I'm telling you, it is the world's most confused because it's gig.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
the streets,
streets go at angles.
Yeah, and they don't come back the same way.
and there's that too. It's a unique place, that's for sure.
Yeah, it really, really is. You know, and I was doing something with the school system here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the State Department of Education at one time also, and I had to find my way. Lord, it was difficult. But Mel, thank you very much, and we will do this again. We want to find out more about your business being funded and what you can do with it. I'm telling you, this is really great. Now, I got to talk very seriously with you. 732-685-4380 for Mal Wolflick, everyone. 732-685-4380. What is the name of his company? It is the Global Trade and Technology Center. Mal, thank you so much for, you know, coming for being here.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Kay.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure.
Okay, because we have a lot of business to talk about, because I'm going to be really being taking this into a different direction. You know, we want to take it into, you know, different areas in the Caribbean. And so, therefore, you know, we'll be talking, we'll doing business. And anyway, time to end, says Strawn in the control room. Okay, everyone, please join us again next Wednesday. I'm Kay Thompson for Kay Thompson Live. Thanks, Mal.
Thanks, Kay.